Lord, we just thank you tonight that we're standing on holy ground. Lord, yeah, we are broken, Lord, in need of you, Jesus, hungry for you. We thank you that tonight we can just receive, Lord, of your fullness, God, of your perfection, of your beauty, God. Lord, tonight we realize just how hungry we are for you, how in need we are of you, Lord. Life is so busy many times, God. There's so many happenings and so many events that we run to, Lord, to fill us, Lord. But tonight we realize, Lord, that we're hungry for you, Jesus. That you satisfy, Lord. And we thank you that you fill us up right now by your word, Lord. Come to change us, Jesus, into your image tonight. And give us a desire for your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we choose tonight to be separate, to be a holy people, Lord, because of what Jesus has done. We come to worship you, to lay ourselves down before you as living sacrifices. We come, Lord, we put ourselves on the altar, Jesus. We put ourselves on the altar tonight. Kingdom come in us and through us. May your will be done. Right here, right now, in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, Amen. So wonderful to have you here tonight. Thanks, band. Just want to say congratulations to Gerard. Our own Shimla. It's been doing very well with the Shimlas. And I really believe we must just honor what God is doing and the favor that God has given him. He was man of the match a couple of times. And he was the man of the match last week. And they're in the semi-final. So let's go support them tomorrow at 4:45. Hey, Gerard? 4:45. Okay. But I think it's the first match of the semi-final. So God is good. Amen. God's favor is upon his people. It's wonderful to just see how God is moving. So congratulations to him. We trust that they'll make the finals. Are you guys awake tonight? I take it that you guys are not, or has everyone had a good holiday? Where the students that were back from holiday? Just put your hands up. Some people had a good holiday. Some can't wait for a holiday. Maybe in December. Hey, Johan, die werkende mensen. We might get holiday sometime, okay? You have to take holiday. Holidays don't just come, but students get the forced holiday, study leave, okay? But I trust some people are still on holiday. They've decided to take this whole week off. Apparently, there's another long weekend coming, so great. It's awesome. But for some other reason this week, I seem to watch a lot of sport. For some other reason, I don't know why, especially a game called cricket. By the way, well done to Australia. They won the World Cup this morning. So I'm glad we didn't lose to Australia. It was probably a bit easier to lose to New Zealand than to lose to Australia. But anyway. But I watched quite a lot of sport this weekend. I watched Gerard play on Monday as well in his game. And you know, sports people are passionate people. Anyone sports people, fans? The fans are sometimes more fanatical than the players. But I think the sports people in general are very passionate people. They... You know, and I watched on Thursday when we lost that semi-final, and you know, it was just amazing. I was challenged just as to what am I busy with, because I can see these guys, and it was terrible to see them lose. They gave everything. I mean, AB de Villiers literally said afterwards that they put their bodies on the line, they left everything on the field, and it was just not enough, you know. And it must be so terrible to lose such a close game, but But you know, when you see the tears afterwards, and you know these big men like sitting on the field, just like absolutely broken, absolutely shattered, you sort of realize these guys have put everything into this. They've put their hearts on the line. They've put absolutely everything into this World Cup. And it wasn't only for them, because they keep saying it was really for the nation. And I believe they did it to try to unite the nation and to try to bring people together. And I know that they didn't only represent themselves, because I think that was the disappointment that they were feeling, was more the disappointment of the nation and the burden of the nation upon them. But I was challenged watching these guys and watching the emotions. And I read an article on Facebook that Quinton de Kock wrote, a little blog that he wrote to honor the guys. And he sort of wrote each, just how he honored each person in the team. And he's obviously a bit of a happy-go-lucky kind of guy, so maybe it didn't affect him too much because he's got lots of World Cups ahead of him. But he just wrote how he walked into that change room and he didn't have words to console the guys. He, you know, he just thought, there's nothing now that you can tell this guy it's going to be okay, because nothing right now is okay. They've just lost their dream. And when I read that, and when I saw the cricket on Thursday, and just watching all the other games as well, I just see a passion, and I was challenging myself, you know, what am I living for? Because these guys, they've laid their lives down for this. They've sacrificed a lot. I was thinking to myself, what am I living for? What is burning in my heart? And I want to ask you the same question. What is burning in your heart? What are you living for? Because God has called us, guys, to live to see His kingdom come. Amen. God has called us for the harvest. God has called us to reach nations and generations. God has called us to live for Him with a passion like we see sometimes on TV, where guys are living for something temporary. We are supposed to be living even more passionately, because we are living for eternal stuff. We are not living just to win a World Cup. And I can tell you, when you win a World Cup, I'm sure the next morning you feel, okay, is this all it is? Because it can't give you that satisfaction of eternity. And I believe we're living for eternity. We're living for so much more than just ourselves and just the here and now. You know, one day when we stand before heaven, we're not going to be able to bring, or when we stand before Jesus in heaven, we're not going to be able to bring stuff in or achievements in or anything else. We're simply going to be able to bring other people with us into heaven. That is the currency. That is what we're living for. And I believe God is challenging us this time to really have joy in bringing in the harvest, have joy in seeing His kingdom come. You know, if you know any farmer, ask any crop farmer, there's joy when the harvest comes in. There's joy when, you know, when the harvest is ripe and when it's time for bringing in the harvest. There's absolute joy. That's what they live for. And I think it's the same with us as Christians. God is calling us to really live for the harvest, to live for souls and to see souls come in. But you see, many times we get a bit distracted, and God is just reminding us again at this time, what are we living for? And I believe one of the reasons why we don't always see the kingdom come, one of the reasons why we don't always live a focused life, and it's a joyful life. It's not the serious, like, oh, you know, let's get, it's joy. But why don't we live like that sometimes? Is, I believe, because of this thing called consecration. And many times you see we worship a Jesus who's, in our minds, it's not the true Jesus, it's Jesus of our own making. Or we try to put Jesus into our culture and we still get caught up by our culture or by our way of doing things, instead of laying down our lives for the real Jesus and following the true Jesus. Many times we live for a church experience or a worship experience, and tonight was awesome. It's just amazing experiencing God. But many times we live just for that, from experience to experience. Tonight, I believe God is wanting to just challenge us with this whole thing of living a consecrated life. This morning, we dedicated our beautiful son, Nathan, to the Lord. It was so amazing just to see how, you know, how God has called him, and he's a miracle baby, because he wasn't supposed to be here. The devil tried to take him out when he was still 5 weeks inside his mom. I'll tell you the story at the end, but you know, to consecrate his life and to dedicate his life to the Lord was so amazing. And God is calling us at this time to live consecrated lives. And there's a definition of consecration, or to consecrate, which I'd like us to look at. It's quite a big word. Anyone heard of the word consecrate? Some of you. It's like almost a Christian word that we just throw around. But what does it really mean? It means to make or declare to be sacred by certain ceremonies or rites. It means to appropriate to sacred uses. It means to set apart, to dedicate, to devote to the service and worship of God. Quite a loaded word. Something should be set apart for God's purposes. That is what consecrate means. It's not just a casual thing. It's a holy thing. It's a serious thing. I believe for us to live these lives, we've got to understand what it means. And we've got to understand what God is calling us to at this moment. I'll never forget there was a song that we sung in Stellenbosch back in the day when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I really started to feel God pulling me just into His presence and just calling me and preparing me for where He was going with me. It was so awesome. And I'll read you the song. I tried to sing it this morning, but then I just realized, you know, let's leave the singing to Yanni and Gerard and Lucy. You know, I think it's better that I just preach, you know. So I'll, the words are just so awesome. Some of you know the song. It's an old song, but I've put it in the plural because I believe we must embrace it as a body. It's not just about me and I and myself. It goes like this. It says, give us one pure and holy passion. Give us one magnificent obsession. Give us one glorious ambition for our lives to know and follow hard after you. Ken jy daai liedjie, Jakobus? Ek sien hy, he's excited. But I remember when we were singing this song, it was just something stirred in my heart that this is what I've been called for. This is what we as Christians have been called for. And I just identified with the song because it was such a holy moment, such a moment of saying, but this summarizes in a way what we've been called for. And then it goes, to know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciples in the truth. This world is empty, pale and poor compared to knowing you, our Lord. Lead us on and we will run after you. Lead us on and we will run after you. Talks about this holy and this pure passion that we've been called for, this magnificent obsession, this glorious ambition, which is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And to be a disciple means we must make disciples as well. Oh, you know, when we were worshiping just now, it was just so awesome. I just want to say again, it's just so amazing to have you guys in church and to worship with you. I just was standing at the back and it was just this moment of, oh, this is awesome to worship God together, to be His disciples together. It's just amazing. Whether there's 10 or 100 or 200 people, it doesn't matter. It's just amazing to be worshiping the Lord together, to be His disciples. And God is calling us at this time and getting to Scripture. Paul writes to the Romans here in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. He writes the following and it almost says what the song is saying. What Paul is calling, and he's urging the believers in Rome, and he's saying to them, he writes the letter, the first 11 chapters talk about the doctrine of salvation and how awesome the salvation is that we've been given in Christ, and it's Jews and Gentiles, and not one is righteous, only Jesus makes us righteous. And then he talks about Israel still going to be saved because the Gentiles are going to make Israel jealous for salvation, and eventually Jews will also be saved, those who become hard. God actually hardens their hearts. And then he says to the Romans, and he's writing there mainly to Gentile believers, but obviously to Jewish believers as well. But he's writing and he says, I beseech you therefore. So he's had this huge argument for 11 chapters in the book of Romans. Read Romans, by the way, if you want to know what your salvation is and what it means. It's an awesome doctrinal book. But in chapter 12, he starts to talk here about how to live as a Christian. And what we've been called for as Christians because of this awesome God that we serve. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That's what I'm almost doing tonight. I'm beseeching you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. Because God is such a merciful God, because God has given us all on the cross, because He's laid His life down for us to give us salvation, He says the following. He says, because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then he says, it's your reasonable service. In other words, this is not something you should debate about. This is not something you should wonder, is this for me or isn't it for me? This is a reasonable service. There's still lots more. But this is your minimum. This is your starting point. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then he says, and do not be conformed to this world. We heard it tonight again in the Word. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not eat of the world's stuff. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we know the rest of the book, the chapter goes on to talk about the Christian faith, how we must live, and then it talks about how we must live under authorities and how we must, you know, when it comes to eating different foods, how we must, you know, what we must make an issue of and what not. And he goes on to talk about the Christian life, but this is just the start of chapter 12, which says in order for you to live a life, in order for you to make a difference, in order for you to see the kingdom come, this is where you've got to start because of God's grace upon your life. And he's talking here to believers. Because of the mercies of God upon your life, because you've been saved, this is the life you've been called to live. So I want to look at a few things which stood out for me when I read these four verses, which I believe God is highlighting in terms of a consecrated life, a life set apart, a life devoted to the things of God. The first thing he says is present your bodies a living sacrifice. I believe a consecrated life is a life of worship. A life of worship. Now, when we talk about worship, what comes to your mind? You know, when I mention worship, what do we think? We think stage, instruments, songs. Yeah, hey, you know, whoa, we're going to worship. And then we've done our worship on a Sunday, and so let's go Monday. You know, we're going to do our stuff now. We're going to live our lives again in the natural. Trying to live life. That's not what God is calling us. God is calling us, and this is awesome. This is part of it, but this is not it. This is not worship. It just helps us to realize who God is. We look at that now, but worship, I believe, is where Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, let's get really deep here, guys. Let's get into the original Greek, okay? It's so important to go into the original language and understand what the word all means in the original Greek. You know what it means? All. Everything. Alles. All of your life must be worship unto God. Amen. Because yeah, he's talking about eating and drinking, and he's saying, listen, yeah, some people get offended by this eating, and some get offended by not eating meat or eating meat. And I love the Afrikaans. This morning I told the guys, I looked a bit further down in the verse, in verse 25, it says, eet alles wat uit die slaghuis uitkom. And I was like, yes, bring on the meat. You know, you can eat what is in the meat market, okay? So, you know, we don't have to eat salads and that type of stuff, okay? Eat meat, okay? We braai, okay? Three times a day. But Paul was saying to these guys, listen, yeah, don't get make a law of whether if some people are offended with meat, then that's their conscience. Don't push them. If you want to eat meat. If it's your conscience, just pray over it, consecrate it to the Lord, bless it, and then eat it. But don't make an issue about eating or drinking. It's all about whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, it's your speech, your attitude, your thoughts, your actions, you know, playing rugby. I heard a funny story. One of my pals in Elswerte back in Stellenbosch, he was playing for the first team in the Corsairs there. And they, you know, Corsairs rugby gets quite rough at times, and the guys kind of like to put the fist in and everything. And this guy was a Christian. He was really sold out for the Lord, and he was playing this match and everything. And there was this one guy on the opposite team, and I don't know if you knew him or not, but he was a bit dirty, okay? So this guy, he tackled this one guy. I think he tackled him. He managed to tackle him like that, a clean tackle and everything. Or I think maybe, I don't know if he'd hit someone or something like that, but he tackled this guy and he put him on the ground. He says, is jy a Christen? And this guy was like, yeah, you know, like everyone will say, of course they have. He says, well, speel soos een dan. So sometimes we've got to play rugby like a Christian as well. But whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, this evening, is your life glorifying God in everything that you do? Oh, it's quite convicting if we really think about it. It's everything you do glorifying God. That is worship. You see, one day in heaven, we're going to be worshiping for a long time. Amen. Wow. God, you're amazing. And we got to learn to live a life of worship. Where it's not just about lifting hands. But you know, lifting hands is a symbol of where our hearts are many times. I'll just tell you a story about my own life in terms of lifting hands and worship, because this really set me free to worship in everything and to trust God that whatever I do brings glory to His name. I came into Shofar in Stellenbosch. I was very freaked out by the charismatic church and everything, and I used to sit right at the back there, but I knew God was calling me to join this church, but I was freaked out. I used to sit right at the back away from the people, come a bit late so that the worship is not too long and too weird and everything, and I was sitting in the back. Eventually, the Lord said, come, you've got to sit amongst the people. You know, get into this river. This river's moving, and yes, you're going to drown, but I want you to drown, kind of thing. You know, I want you to drown in the Spirit. And I was asking these guys, why am I so uncomfortable in this church? And they said, you know, we all were there. You'll get used to it. But then I was standing next to one of my cell leaders, like there in the front, yeah, at the church. And I'm like, oh, taking a step of faith. I'm in the front. You know, the anointing is strong there. These oaks are almost hitting each other in the face. They're raising their arms and it's like wacky. It's, and I'm standing there and I'm like this and looking at this guy here, and I'm thinking he's just in there in heaven with Jesus somewhere. I don't know. And I'm looking and I'm watching him, and I can't worship properly because I'm just so like, this is tough, you know. And the Lord started to challenge me. He said, are you going to surrender like that? Are you going to lift up your hands like that? And I thought, okay, Lord, if I can just do it like, yeah, is that okay? Like that not everyone sees me, you know, can I lift them there or how, you know, this guy was like doing this. And I was like, whoa, watch, you know, his hand is going to hit. But eventually I came to this place where I just let go and I started to lift my hands for the first time and started to jump a little bit and be free in worship. When God's Spirit set me free and I got filled with the Spirit. Because before, obviously, I came into church and I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's difficult to worship like that without the Spirit. So I got filled with the Spirit, and then I started to see that I can lift my hands in church. I can worship God in freedom. And it challenged me to do everything for God. To say this surrender and this lifting of my hands is not just a thing I do. It's because to say to God, God, I surrender. I live a life of worship. And a little while later, I went up to Jonkershoek, to the mountains there, and it was on a Sunday afternoon just before church. I went for a run and I went right to the top, such an awesome lookout point there. And the Lord challenged me and He said, shout my name into this valley. Shout my name over this mountain. I was like, oh Lord, what happens if these mountain bikers or these runners, what if these animals hear me? It's going to be weird, you know. Like, the Lord said, no, just worship me. So I shouted at the top of my lungs, Jesus Christ is Lord. And it just echoed through the valley like that. Such a freeing moment of just worshiping the Lord. Doesn't matter what people think. A life of surrender, a life of worship where I realize that I'm serving and worshiping the one that I'm surrendering to. Because if you surrender to anything else, you will worship that. And that you fear in your life, that you're afraid of many times, afraid of not having enough money, afraid of not, you know, being significant enough, you're going to worship that thing. You're going to worship yourself. God has called us to worship and serve Him because He's the only one that needs to be feared, needs to be glorified. So who do you fear? Do you fear man's opinion tonight? Do you fear having not having enough money? Or maybe you fear just, or not fear, but maybe you just want so much money that you end up worshiping money, whether you've got lots or little. That's the thing that you're going to surrender to, or people's opinions. John 15 verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's quite hectic. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It doesn't say you must bear fruit and maybe be a disciple. It says, if you bear fruit, you will prove that you are a disciple. In other words, we've been called to glorify God by bearing fruit and by being His disciples. And I believe if we as disciples will bear fruit, we don't have to try to bear fruit. Amen. We just have to live a life of worship and a life of glorifying God. But that leads to my next point. God is calling us to a life of fruit. And a life of holiness. Because the second thing Paul says to the people, he says, don't only present your bodies a living sacrifice, present your bodies holy and acceptable to God. Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he goes on and says, the works of the flesh are as follows. And he writes here and he says, listen, you can't, they are mutually exclusive. Anyone knows what that means? You cannot walk in the spirit and walk in the flesh. You're either going to walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. So we've got to choose. And as Christians, we obviously don't walk perfectly in the spirit, because he says if you walk perfectly in the spirit, then guess what? You'll never fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we do fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's be honest. We aren't perfect, but still, it's a place of walking in the Spirit more and more. And it ties back to the previous point. It's a place of worshiping God. When we see God for who He is, we'll become holy. Amen. Consecrated life chooses to walk in holiness, and so we will bear fruit. And he says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, but the works of the flesh happen when we're under the law, and they are as follows: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. It just goes on and on and on. I could preach a sermon on each one of those things. But then he says, I tell you before, just as I told you in the past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but God comes in by Spirit, and He says the fruit of the Spirit is as follows: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See, I believe God is calling us to this place of separation, this place of holiness, this place of sanctification, where it is a process, but it's a choice to start laying down more and more of the flesh. It's a choice to start laying down more and more of things in our lives. The following, if there's adultery in your life, and many times we think of adultery as this massive thing. If there's fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, some of these things are big things. But others are more an attitude of the heart. Some of them are actions. Most of them are attitudes of the heart. Adultery, guess what the New Testament says about adultery? If you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery. Anyone read Matthew? It's hectic. We think adultery is just the action, but it's actually in your heart. If you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. But all these things, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, and selfish ambitions. There's one which we don't really like to focus on. Selfish ambitions. Our own lives. Our own stuff. Etc., etc., etc. But I believe one way to holiness is by walking in the Spirit and by seeing God for who He is. Because guess who God is? God is holy. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. Let's say it together. Holy, holy, holy. Again, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is not like us. God is different to us. He's far above our ways and our things. He's so awesome. He's so holy. And we need to say, God, we want to be holy like You are holy. That's what the Bible says. Be holy, for I am holy. But you see, God's love is a consuming fire. God is love, but God is a consuming fire. And God wants us to realize that His holiness is there to destroy the sin that prevents us from loving Him. Because He wants relationship. He's primarily love. That's awesome about God, isn't it so? He's primarily love, but yet He's a holy God. If He was just a loving God, you know what? He'd accept everyone. But you know what? He doesn't accept everyone. That's why He's got the only way, the only truth, the only life in Jesus Christ. He doesn't accept all religions, all people. But you know, the modern grace message would say, no, He accepts everyone. God is a consuming fire. He's made provision in Jesus Christ. That's grace. We can live a holy life. A set apart life. As you know that thing of the silver. Anyone know that how silver is refined or gold is refined in the fire? That when the maker sees its image in that gold or that silver, then all the impurities come to the top and they get burnt off. And that silver is put in the fire until its image, the maker's image, is found in it. You see, God wants to refine us like silver and like gold by His fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's a gentle fire, but it's a consuming fire. That's why He says the fruit of the Spirit is these things. The fruit, if it's not the fruit of the Spirit, it's sin. It's other stuff. Amen. I remember before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, I was trying to serve God. I was trying to do a lot of things. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, God gave me another passion. God gave me another desire to serve Him and to lay down all the lusts of the flesh and all the stuff that was holding me back. But it took a while. It took God to change us. And some of us are a bit, you know, like we're a tough nut to crack for God. But He gets through to us if we surrender. It's a process of change, of becoming holy, so that we can bear fruit and see His kingdom come. Because this fruit is not just for ourselves. Love, joy, peace, all these things is so that other people can see the image of the Maker in us as refined people. A life of holiness, God is calling us to live. A life of setting apart. It's not a life of perfection. We're never going to be perfect. So we must make a peace with the fact that we're going to make mistakes. But you know, we mustn't get caught up in the same cycles over and over again, because then we aren't moving on. And that brings me to my next point. He says, you've been called to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And then He says, and in addition to this, do not be conformed to this world. Because guess what's going to steal your holiness, steal your worship, steal everything, is the pattern of the world. If we conform to the pattern of the world, we're going to struggle to become a holy people. We're going to struggle to become a worshiping people. We're going to worship. We're not going to worship Jesus. We're going to worship idols and all the other stuff. Because we're made to worship. So we're going to worship something. And if we conform to the world, guess what we're going to worship? The things of the world. And where does it start? It's in this little box here. The mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We sing it over and over again. But where is that liberty? Now we think that liberty is just, oh, we can do whatever we like. It's not like that. Liberty is when we conform to the things of God. Amen. But we all, with unveiled face, in other words, Christ has made a provision, the Spirit has been sent, we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. A consecrated life is a life that makes a peace with the fact that we're going to be transformed. Amen. In South Africa, this word is like, you know, we just don't want to talk about transformasi, you know, transformation. It's like, oh, terrible. So we're so negative when we hear the word transformation. I've just heard all the cricket teams have to have at least maximum 6 white people and 3 blacks and 2 or whatever, 2 of other like Asian or Indian or whatever. So, because we haven't reached this transformation yet, you know. So when we hear this as a nation, we just, oh, transformation. When are we, you know, it's been 20 years now of this trying to transform. Transformation takes a while. And in the kingdom, it's the same. And we must make a peace. We must see change and transformation as amazing. It's awesome. We change from glory to glory. But you see, many times we get stuck in our ways, or we get comfortable, or we get resistant. We resist change. We resist transformation because it's negative. And God is trying to say to us, listen here, you need to change from one level of glory to the next, because I am here and you are. Yeah, you've got a lot of growth to do to get like me. So make a peace with change and ask the Lord in your life tonight. Maybe there's stuff that you realize you need to change. Embrace that change because it's good for you. It's necessary. It's essential. You're going to die if you don't change. You're going to stay a caterpillar. You know, anyone know the story of the caterpillar that becomes the butterfly? You know, who wants to be a caterpillar? I want to be a butterfly. I want to fly. But you know what? It's a bit of pain. You've got to go through some metamorphosis. Whether all the biologists in the house. You've got to go through a process of change. Metamorphosis, it's not a nice process always. But we want to grow from glory to glory. And I want to ask you tonight, where is there stuff in your life that you know you need to change? And the first realization is that you must be honest, the fact that you need to change. But then also realize what you need to change. Because many times we're convicted and then we just don't do anything about it. We don't let God change us. We don't go through that process of becoming holy. Becoming more of a worshiper. Where must your thoughts be renewed? Because he says, listen, you need to be renewed in your mind. That's how you're going to be transformed. It starts here and it starts with that choice. And when you give your life to Jesus and you choose salvation, you realize you need to be saved. But then you must keep choosing in your mind, where must I be renewed? Where are my thoughts still sif? You know, they're part of the world. Where do I still lust? Where do I still have pride? Where do I still have material desires? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, the three unholy ones that keep us back. And I want to say this evening, maybe you're in a relationship. I want to ask you, you know, where are your boundaries? There's some couples in relationships I know in our church. Where are your boundaries? Physically. Maybe you need to be changed there in your mind because you still think it's okay to, you know, start that process that you cannot stop. You're only supposed to finish in marriage. How's your holiness there? How's your purity there? Or how's your love for money? You know, is money a big thing in your life? Are you focused so much on, you know, surviving or focused on being the richest person in the world that all you want to do is make lots of money? And God is maybe speaking to you tonight, or maybe it's just your own self-image. Maybe you're full of self-pity and you're not confident who you are in Christ, or else you're so arrogant and you're on the other side, you're prideful, and which actually is just also a form of. Well, self-pity is also a form of pride, but maybe it's in your own self-image. Where do you need to be changed? See yourself how Christ sees you. We all need to be changed from glory to glory, guys. Amen. And then he goes on, he says, why do you need this process of change? Why do you need this process of becoming holy? Why do you need to be a worshiper and be a living sacrifice? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why you need to lay yourself down on the altar. That's why you need to be holy and acceptable to God. That's why you need to be transformed in the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I ask you guys now tonight, if I say, what is the will of God? I think we'll get quite a lot of different answers. Because maybe some of us will say, well, what is the will of God for my life? It's different for your life. And yes, that's so, but what is the will of God? Because there's a will of God. And you know, many times we want God to come and, you know, bring himself into our will or our plans or our desires. If God has got a will and God is saying, this life that you live, this consecrated, holy, separate, set apart, devoted life is a life so that my will can be done. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want another will to be done because he knows if other wills are done, you know what? People are going to lose their lives for eternity. It's all about his will. You know, and how do you prove what is the will of God? You actually start to do the will of God. Amen. You're not going to be able to do the will of God if you don't know what it is. But guess what? You know, how have I started to know the will of God in my life? I can testify. I just started to step out and do it. And some things weren't. It's like serving in church, you know. I remember when I was in Stellenbosch, I did everything. I did so many things and I found out, okay, where must I serve? You know, but you've got to try and do it. You know, some of us just want to do one or two things and we're still so young. And God says, no, try, discover the will of God by doing different things. So step out in faith. Give people a word. Encourage someone. Make someone a cup of coffee that you don't know so well at work or, you know, in your res or wherever. Go and bless someone and see the will of God develop. But if we wait for the will of God to be downloaded in fullness, we'll never do the will of God. What does Reinhard Bonnke say? Those who are doing the will of God are overrunning those who are waiting to do the will of God or thinking about doing the will of God. Or, you know, we pray about the will of God. We strategize and we just go and do the will of God. And it's all about people. Amen. It's all about other people. It's all about the harvest out there. It's all about seeing lives change. It's all about making disciples. Start in church. You know, go and bless someone else in church. I encouraged the adults the other night. We had a group meeting with all the adults. And I encouraged them and I said, you know, we've got to start discipling one another. It's not up to us as leaders to disciple everyone. We've got to speak into each other's lives. If we're going to disciple people out there, how are we going to do that if we can't even disciple one another in church? Start to build relationships. Start to make effort with someone that's maybe not comfortable. Because guess what? It's so easy to spend time with people that are comfortable. What about people that are uncomfortable? I mean, that are difficult for you. Go and spend time with those people and see the will of God develop for your life. But he says you must prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you've got to start to do it. Step out. And when you do that, you'll hear his voice even more and you'll be able to obey him because he'll give you the next instruction. If we don't step out, guess what? God can't give us the next instruction. If he said something, your last step of obedience is that's your act of worship. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's a matter of priorities, guys. But many times we seek first our lives, we seek first, you know, a comfortable life, we seek first whatever is desirable for us, and God is saying something else. And you know where you're going to really know if you're seeking first the kingdom of God? If things get tough. Amen. If things get busy, if things get, you've got to make a choice between certain things, and it's a tough choice. If it's easy, then why, what does Jesus say about laying down his life, laying down our lives? But when we know we're going to seek the will of God first, then it's when the times are tough, when choices have to be made. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever desires or whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Tough scripture. But this is a holy life. This is a sanctified life, a set apart, consecrated, dedicated life. It's that life of desiring to follow Jesus with whatever it takes. It's a life of surrender where we're prepared to lose our plans and our purposes and our things for the sake of the kingdom. I'll never forget when we had to move to Pretoria. You know, I was in Shofar for a couple of years. And you know, we sing lots of songs. You know, we'll go to the ends of the earth. I'll never forget that song, you know. To the ends of the earth, the Hillsong song like that. We will go to the ends of the earth. We sing that song and we get excited and the Lord stirs us until you get asked to go to Gauteng. You know, you're staying in the beautiful Boerland and you're asked to go. And it feels like I'd rather go anywhere else but Gauteng, you know. It feels like it's literally the end of the earth. Because this is such a comfortable little place here in Stellenbosch. And it's all cool and beautiful. And so then you get challenged on what you've just sung. You know, you've been saying, Lord, I will go. You know, and then you get asked to go. And whoa, you know. Lord, I'll do this. And then you get asked to do it. Oh, no, let me just pray about it, Lord. Meanwhile, God's been preparing you for long to go. God's been preparing you to lay down your life. But sometimes we sing the songs very emotionally and we don't realize what we're singing. And it's only going to be challenged when it's a tough choice to make. Are you going to lay down your life? Praise the Lord. God has blessed us so. And it was so amazing. I've told the story before, but my wife, it took 6 months. For her to get it. No, I'm only joking. We were given 6 months anyway to prepare ourselves to move. That's how long it takes sometimes. But so God sometimes will say something to you and he will give you time to prepare for it. But we were driving up to Pretoria, and obviously it was tough for me as well, but for my wife especially. I think for women who've made a home in a place, it's difficult to leave. And then the awesome person that she is, she got over it, and she's someone, when she gets over something, it's like, boof, focused on the next thing. You know, she takes a while to get over it sometimes, but she doesn't like go back to the past. So she focused, and we were driving up there in Wanya, and the tears were like a bit dry, and she was like starting to get excited, and driving here past this big city in the Free State, and she was like, you know what, I'm actually quite excited to go to Pretoria, because at least we don't have to come here. A year later, the Lord said, Bloemfontein. Two places she never wanted to go to. Joburg or Gauteng and Pretoria and Bloemfontein. Two places that God said, there you go. You said whatever. You said I'll go to the ends of the earth. But we know it's the joy because we moved both times and there was such an anointing, such a blessing. Just when we moved, yeah, there was just such a blessing. We loved it there in Pretoria, but we just said it's end of the season, new season, God. Until God says again, we'll do what he says. But you see, that's the challenge, is when, are you prepared to lay down your life? Are you prepared to follow Jesus? That's a separate life. That is a life set apart for his purposes and his glory. Some of us have to make decisions tonight even to say, God, I'm studying for your glory. I'm studying not for myself. I'm working for your glory. I'm an accountant. I'm an engineer. I'm whatever for your glory, God. It's not just to make money and to pay the bills every month. Because if it is, what a boring life. Who wants to just make money and pay bills every month? Who wants to just have a career when there's a kingdom to come? When we can be like the Proteus, part of this team, and we can not be like the Proteus because we're not in a losing team, guys. I won't say we're going to be like Australia, okay? Please, who wants to be like Australia, okay? But bless them. Jesus will save Australia as well, okay? Some of us will go to Australia and preach the gospel. It's like the Blue Bulls, you know? They're always winning. You don't like it, you know? But anyway, some people just win. But you know, as Christians, we always win. Amen? Some of us must get excited about that. We live a life of victory because Jesus has won it on the cross. But we can be part of his team. We can be part of his team that is laying down our lives and saying, Jesus, this is what you're calling us to do, a consecrated life, a holy life. And I'm just so encouraged. I'm just going to end off with the story of Samson. I've been reading the story of Samson, especially with my son being dedicated. And Matthew asked me to read the story of Samson, not to read, but to tell the story. So I've sort of got a shortened version of it, which I'll tell you guys now. But you know, Samson was dedicated to the Lord before he was born. Because the angel came to his parents and said, listen, you're going to have a son and he's going to save Israel. He's going to deliver them. He's going to start to deliver them. That's what the Bible says. He's going to start to deliver them from the hold of the hand of the Philistine. Not completely, he's going to start to do it. And so he was dedicated. He was a Nazarite. He was dedicated from his mother's womb. And he had this incredible strength. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. He did mighty stuff. And then what happened? He got distracted. And he started falling for the things of the world. The typical lust and pride and money. Money, sex and power, those things. But he was the judge of Israel. And he was a successful guy. But you know, the anointing of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him until he made the worst decision of his life, and that's to give Delilah the keys to his strength. And so they cut his hair, and then his strength left him, and they tied him up and gouged his eyes out and put him in prison. And we thought that was the end of Samson's life. Oh, what a sad ending. Until when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon someone, when someone is dedicated and consecrated to the Lord, you know what? The Lord never leaves that person. Even though his strength left him, God handed him over to a bit of suffering and a bit of pain, but then his hair grew back again, and he was supposed to entertain 3,000 Philistines in this massive temple. And he asked the guy to lead him, the little boy that was leading him. He said, put my hand on this pillar, put my hand on that pillar. And he prayed to God, and says the God heard him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and his strength returned, and he pushed those pillars apart, and 3,000 Philistines, obviously he died with them. And the Bible said that he killed more people at the end of his life than all of the rest of his life put together. I think that's quite a success story. And Samson is actually recorded in Hebrews 11, the men of faith. So sometimes we think, oh, you know, he messed up. But you know what's so encouraging about that story is when we consecrate our lives to the Lord Jesus, when we say yes to Jesus, and you know, we're going to miss it at times. We'll get distracted at times. But you know, God is always there, and God is faithful, and his will come to pass in our lives. If he said you are going to start to deliver the Philistines, then that's what will happen in your life. And he delivered the Philistines, the Israelites from the Philistines. He fulfilled the purposes of God, even though it was in a different way to maybe what God wanted. But God is faithful. And God's will be done in your life if you say yes to this thing of holiness, this thing of being set apart, this thing of consecration. And I believe God is going to do mighty things through each one of us. Amen. If you want it. It's if you want it tonight. It's not, God is not going to force himself on you, but he's asking us to live a life of worship. To live a life of holiness, to live a life of transformation where we make a peace with the fact that we're going to always have to be conformed to Jesus. And that our minds need to be renewed until we start to prove what's that good and that perfect and acceptable will of God. Let's close our eyes. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord. Just for these moments in your presence, these holy moments where you're calling us to make a decision, Lord. You're calling us to make a change. You're calling us to make calculations and to take stock of where we're at, Jesus. Lord, you say that you beseech us, Lord. You, through the letter of Paul, you beseech us, God, because of your mercies, to live a life set apart, Lord. To live a life consecrated and holy, dedicated for your purposes alone, Lord. Lord, we want to prove what is that perfect and good and acceptable will. We want to do it, Lord, but many times we're so distracted, God, by the things of the world. We're so distracted by our own purposes, Lord, our own desires. And so many times it's just for selfish desires, Lord. So many times our freedom is actually bringing us bondage, God. We think it's freedom, but it's such bondage, Lord. But thank you tonight, God. Thank you tonight that we can really just say yes to your calling of holiness, of purity, Lord, of sanctification, of being set apart. Lord, a life of worship where we realize, Lord, we've been called to worship you with everything that we are. Lord, in church, thank you for the privilege that it is to sing songs to help us, Lord, to just worship you. To help us to see you, Jesus, for who you really are, perfect and holy and beautiful and amazing. And so thank you right now that we can say yes to you, Lord. To worship you, Jesus, in spirit and in truth. And we ask you to make us holy, God. We say, yeah, we are as living sacrifices, Lord. Acceptable and pleasing because of the cross of Christ, because of what Jesus did. There's nothing else we have to do to prove ourselves, Lord, but you are calling us to this place of being set apart more and more for your purposes. Some of us need to come back to you tonight. Some of us need to find the peace again because we're running around so much, Lord. And we want to choose to come back to that place of being in your will, God, and starting to prove what is that good and acceptable perfect will of God. Starting to do it, Lord. Not only know it and understand it, but actually put it into action by faith, Lord. So we bless your name tonight, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Let's all stand this evening. We're going to worship the Lord together this evening. We're going to say to God, God, we're living for your purposes. And maybe the Lord's speaking to you tonight, and I want you to, while we're worshiping the Lord, we're gonna sing this song now together with the band. But while we sing, I don't want you to focus on the words. It's just a facilitation for your heart to worship God. But I want to ask you, if the Lord is speaking to you about really being set apart for His purposes, being sanctified, being saying to the Lord, and yes, you may be filled with the Spirit, you're saved, you're baptized, you're a Christian, then God is speaking to you tonight. Maybe there's stuff in your life that's preventing you from really being set apart for His purposes. Maybe there's sin in your life that you want to say no to that sin now. You want to stop that cycle. God is calling you to holiness. Then be obedient. Maybe tonight you don't know the will of God and you just want that peace. Then come and ask the Lord tonight and lay yourself down at the altar as a living sacrifice. Because it starts with laying yourself down. You're not going to know the will of God perfectly until you start to lay yourself down as a living sacrifice. He's going to show you then. Because He doesn't want us to prove anything without Him. We will prove it if we have Jesus and we lay ourselves down. That's what the Scripture is about. Saying, Lord, yeah, we are as living sacrifices. We're pleasing to you. We're holy to you. We want to set ourselves apart. And so God is calling some of us to set ourselves apart for this next season. In this, the year is 3 months old already. It's the fourth month starting this week. Maybe you've wasted these 3 months. Maybe these 3 months are like, whoa, what have I done? Has the kingdom come in my life and through my life? And the Lord is calling you today to say, for the next 3 months or 1 month or 1 week, whatever it is, I'm going to lay myself down as a living sacrifice and say, Jesus, whatever you want to do through me, I'm willing. Just show me, Lord. I don't know, but I'm so willing. It's all about a willingness. It's all about a... And that's what Paul says, I beseech you, I can't force you, I just ask you, but you must do it. You must choose to say, I lay myself down as a living sacrifice. So let's worship the Lord together. Let's sing the song together. But I want you to really step out. If you feel God is calling you, to step out and to set yourself apart and to say, Jesus, I'm here for you. Refine me in your fire. And I want you to be obedient to the Lord. And come forward. We're going to pray with you. Amen. Is that cool with you guys? If the Holy Spirit is convicting, I want you to be obedient. But I want you to, we're not playing games here. It's your life and God's life. And where are you going to meet Him? Because He's perfect. He doesn't need to change. But He's calling you to maybe transform your life tonight.